On Twitter today, President Trump has been disputing his intelligence chiefs, calling them naive to the danger posed by Iran, saying the Islamic State will soon be destroyed in Syria. Both views contrary to assessments offered yesterday by his top intelligence officials appearing before the Senate Intelligence Committee. On Syria, for instance, Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats said ISIS will continue to have the capacity to launch attacks inside Syria's borders, the Mideast, and beyond. Of course, President Trump tweeted in December that U.S. troops in Syria would be coming home because ISIS had been defeated. Aaron David Miller is Middle East Program Director at the Wilson Center and a past advisor to secretaries of state in both Republican and Democratic administrations. Earlier this week, we spoke to him about a possible peace deal with the Taliban in Afghanistan that you heard. Today, the rest of our conversation about foreign policy. I asked what he thought of the president's decision to pull troops out of Syria.
I mean, I think our policy in Syria reminds me of a drunk careening from lamppost to lamppost. I don't think we've ever really clarified and identified what our core objectives are in Syria. And as a consequence, we deployed 2,200 Americans on the ground. I think the president's decision, the way it was made, was diplomatic malpractice. The way it was done by tweet, the hasty decision, and a phone call with the president of Turkey, the president, since ISIS was defeated, the president was now going to withdraw. No consultation with allies, no effort to extract conditions from parties on the ground to protect our interests there. All of that was diplomatic malpractice. The decision, however, to extract 2,000 American forces in an orderly, measured, and structured way, in my judgment, is the right one, because we cannot achieve any of our objectives, some of the more fantastical ones we have set for ourselves in Syria, with that kind of commitment on the ground. We will not be able to push the Iranians out. We cannot constrain Russia, that has a vital interest and is prepared to demonstrate that vital interest on the ground. And above all, we need to stop using words like defeat of Al-Qaeda and ISIS. The reality is this is not Germany and Japan. We broke Germany and Japan's will to fight. We destroyed their military capacity, and we helped the Germans and the Japanese refashion political structures that eliminated their ideology. None of these things pertain. So as long as the withdrawal is structured, measured, and we do our best to seek commitments specifically from the Turks, I think the idea of departing Syria is a good one.
No, but you said that we had we, and by we, I'm assuming you mean the U.S., the Department of Defense, the Trump administration, have other goals of, you know, keeping back Iran in Syria, controlling Russia. How do you do that? What's the leverage?
You don't. The United States cannot fix Syria. If you want to defeat ISIS, then you need to have a structure that eliminates the political, economic, ideological grievances on which ISIS feeds. That is a bridge too far for the United States, and we are not going to accomplish any of these goals by maintaining 2,200 forces in Syria in another forever war.
We have to touch on Venezuela. President Trump and more than 20 other countries have recognized the opposition leader, Juan Guaido, as the country's president, rather than, of course, the elected leader, Nicolas Maduro. Questions about, you know, the legitimacy of his election, but he is the president. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made the case for Guaido during a UN Security Council meeting on Saturday.
Now we have a new leader, Juan Guaido, in Venezuela, who has promised to bring elections and constitutional order back to Venezuela and security back to the region. We cannot delay this critical conversation, which has the world's attention. For the sake of Venezuela and the region, we must support the Venezuelan people and do so right now.
But how? Your thoughts on this?
Look, this is a relatively low-cost effort to try to work with opposition, Guaido and his people, that are in fact gaining some credibility on the streets, in an effort to create a break in this situation, which could conceivably force Maduro from power. The problem is that Maduro has supporters. The Russians, the Cubans, the Chinese, Russia and China are carrying huge loans. They're not going to go easily, and all of this is going. And the Cubans are providing military protection for Maduro as well. None of this is going to be easy, and it will all turn on the unknown issue of whether or not these competing forces can sway the Venezuelan military to essentially push Maduro from power. That could take a long time. And I think the those who want Maduro to stay, the Cubans, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, will want to delay his departure or avert it if they possibly can. So that's the key. The fact that we are there, I think on balance, is probably a good thing. You know that I'm sure the agency and other forces are now in touch with Guaido and the opposition and are looking for ways to influence the Venezuelan military. Whether or not we have the we have the power to do that, given the Maduro's allies that are arrayed against us, is unclear. I suspect, though, one way or another, that this may well be the beginning of the end for Mr. Maduro.
But it's also a Trump administration that said that it's withdrawing from the world, that it doesn't want to be involved in the world's skirmishes. And here it's stepping out on Venezuela, maybe, you know, pulling back from Afghanistan, kind of half and half right now on Syria. There's a second summit with North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un that's hoped for. We haven't even mentioned the Middle East. How would you sum up the Trump administration foreign policy?
I mean, first, I would say there have been two successes, in my judgment, which redeem an otherwise dysfunctional and chaotic foreign policy. One, and this is carrying on the policies of his predecessor, Mr. Obama, this president has an inherent risk aversion. There is, in my judgment, and this existed in the Obama administration too, and Trump has carried it on, an effort not to get the United States into new wars and to withdraw American power and influence from old and unwinnable ones. You see that in Afghanistan. You certainly see that in Syria. Second, there is an effort, I think, and again on the positive side, on North Korea. Once the locked and loaded fire and fury rhetoric was done, to try to engage Kim Jong-un. Now, whether anything is going to come through denuclearization, I'm not entirely persuaded. I think we better get used to living with some North Korean nukes. But maybe, just maybe, there's a track here. That's the upside. The downsides, I think, are clear. While the president has untethered the United States from, or begun to, untether the U.S. from unwinnable wars, he has also untethered America from the alliances, the relationships, the initiatives that have been the source of American power. And he's tried, I think, sadly, fairly successfully, to undermine confidence in our traditional allies, NATO in particularly, and to somehow find a way forward to cavort with authoritarians. In many ways, Robin, he's emptied the U.S. foreign policy frame of any moral or ethical sensibility. And that's why Venezuela seems to me to be sort of an anomaly. And I think it is an anomaly because Mr. Maduro, unlike the other authoritarians, MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, Sisi, Erdogan, Xi, and certainly Putin, they've not criticized the president by and large. Maduro has. The other issue is this is in the Western Hemisphere. And I think that presents a challenge to the Trump administration. And Mr. Trump has been exposed to Venezuelan dissidents, in large part because the vice president and Senator Marco Rubio since the beginning of his administration. So, you know, on balance, I would give this administration somewhere between a C minus and a D. With respect to all of the other elements, process-wise, I think it's been a disaster. And in the Middle East, I would argue to you, you know, we're wandering around like some modern-day Gulliver, tied up by larger and smaller powers whose interests are not our own, and tied up by our own illusions. So, on balance, this, in my judgment, is no way to run the railroad. And it's interesting that you've got in 2 years into his term. Mr. Trump is on his second Secretary of State and his third National Security Advisor.
That's Aaron David Miller, Middle East Program Director at the Wilson Center, past advisor to the Secretaries of State in both Republican and Democratic administrations. Aaron, thanks as always.
Robin, thank you.